Hello again, friends, and welcome into Southern Fairway Sports Radio, presented by our friends over at McConnell Automotive, the number one GMC dealer in the state of Alabama. They're located just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in Mobile, or you can check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I am your host, Randy Bergen, joined by PGA teaching professional and director of golf at Quail Creek Golf Club in Fairhope, Alabama, my man, sweet swinging, Bobby Hall. Beep, you know, last week was my favorite week of the year because it's the Masters. And I think if you're a golfer, boy, that's got to be way up there for a lot of golfers. How'd you feel about the win for Scottie Scheffler?
Well, I think Scottie had the lead and the favoritism from the get-go. And I think everybody kind of knew that, but it was quite impressive, especially when Auberg, you know, cut the lead and Morikawa was right in there. DeChambeau set that 65 going out. That was a little unexpected from everybody. It was a great Masters. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think this Auberg young man is going to set the stage for the future. Fleetwood made a great showing. We've always been pulling for Tommy Fleetwood. It was just a great Masters. I think it was just wonderful to watch and thoroughly exciting.
Well, no doubt about it. You say Auberg. Some people say Auberg. I mean, there's a you tomato, tomato, whatever you want to say. But he was very impressive. And, you know, there's probably a golf tip in there somewhere. When you look at his attitude, the way he walked around that course, not just through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but the way he did on Sunday and the way he attacked this golf course with the attitude that he had, you know, it was very impressive. And I think, and I've talked to quite a few people over the last couple of days, and although we all pulled for Scottie, I mean, Scottie Scheffler is there's only one perfect guy, and that was Jesus, but Scottie Scheffler is pretty close to that, okay? Great guy, great golfer, his faith, awkward, the way he hits footwork. The golf ball, footwork is crazy. I mean, all of that. But he is somehow able to get it down the course, and he did well. So congratulations to him. But the people I talked to said, you know, I found myself, Randy, pulling for Max Homa. I found myself pulling for Ludvig Åberg. And I'm like, you know, I kind of think I agree with you. I did too. I found myself kind of pulling for Max Homa. Of course, on 12, we know he hit it, hits the green, bounces, trampolines back into the bushes. He's got to take a drop, and he's out of it at that point. But, man, talk about this Ludvig, the kid that is from Sweden, played at Texas Tech. Yeah.
He starts out 4 under par for the tournament, so he's 3 shots, you know, back, and then he bogeys, 2, and then he just makes, 4 or 5 straight pars, and then all of a sudden he has a bogey at 6, and then he bogeys 9. He gets he gets it back to 5 under, and he's right there in the hunt, and he just never loses his cool. Even when he makes a double bogey, he just smiles, just had the best attitude. I think we all should take a lesson from that, and here's a 23, 24-year-old just setting the example for all of us to follow. It's a game. And we get down on ourselves. Randy, you and I have hit great shots in the past, and we kind of expect that out of ourselves, and we get down on ourselves when we're playing bad. And he just smiled and said, what the heck, I'm just enjoying being here. And I think if we all took that attitude, it would be a great lesson for all of us. But it was a great Masters, and, as Zalatoris comes out at 4 over and shoots 4 under and finishes even, and we pull for him. He's a great player. So there's just a lot of things going on at the Masters. Get inside that top 10, you're invited back next year. So I just thought it was wonderful.
Well, I agree with you. You look at it. We talk about Åberg. How about Tommy Fleetwood making the run that he made? Max Homa doing what he did. Colin Morikawa coming up and started chasing. Of course, he had a couple of bad holes. And he said, hey, I got greedy. Okay, you can't get greedy. You got to be patient. He got a little greedy, started pressing a little bit, and fell back. Cam Smith, Bryson DeChambeau, Xander Schauffele, I think was one that a lot of folks were pulling for as well. But then you mentioned Zalatoris, and I got to tell you, I really like Zalatoris, and I think this is a kid. Keep your eye on him because he is going to win a green jacket, and it won't be that far away, all right, is my prediction. Let me throw another name at you real quick. Tyrrell Hatton, the guy that talks to him himself more than anybody on a golf course. What a difference between him, Tyrrell Hatton, and Ludvig Åberg, the way they carry themselves through the course.
Yeah, Hatton starts out, he's like 3 over par. He gets back to even at number 10. I mean, and then he goes 1 under at 12, 2 under at 13, and then just has a little slip up there at 17 and 18 and finishes even after starting 3 over. Yeah, he played very well. Young was 1 under and then finished even. It was just hard to catch the pin placements, the wind, the speed of the greens. You know, he had to know where to hit it. And that was so impressive of Scheffler coming down the stretch, the way he hit it in there at 14, the way he hit it in there at 17.
Oh, yeah.
And held his composure. You know, he knew where to hit it, and he made that shot happen. That was just great ball striking.
Well,
enough said.
Yeah, and you know, he said, he made the comment. He said, look, I appreciate when he was doing his, and we may hear from him in a little bit, his post-round speech from getting winning the Masters, and he made the comment. He said, look, guys, I hear you. I don't always look up. I'm trying to focus on the next shot, but I hear you, and I appreciate it, because there were times that I was watching, and you see the crowd jump up giving, you know, like big applause and all that, and you're like, tip the hat, wave at them, something. And he was like, man, I'm just keeping my nose down. I'm just going to keep driving. And there's something to be said about that.
There is. The great Ben Hogan, it was said that his wife Valerie was standing next to him at the tee. And after the round, he said, you know, I hit this great shot at 16, Valerie. It was great. She said, yeah, Ben, I was standing right there next to you. He didn't even know she was there. And that came about his nickname, the Iceman, because he's just so into the game. You know, Scotty kept his head down and just focused on what he had to do. And I hope the fans don't take that. Like you said, maybe he's tipping his hat like Åberg did, but, you know, he just knew what he had to do, and he stayed focused. And now he can relax and sign autographs and be the guy that he is. He's a good Christian man, and, you know, hats off to him. But he kept his head down, knew what he had to do, and stayed focused and didn't get upset, kept his stride. It was very impressive.
Well, no doubt. And I think what's even more impressive is the fact that he is now in Hilton Head playing in the RBC Heritage. So you got to take your hat off to him for sure. All right, look, let me go ahead and set the table for you. Dennis Hayford, the multi-area director for the South Alabama FCA, he's going to be on in just a little bit in our next segment to tell you about a wonderful, wonderful tournament that you'll want to be a part of one way or another. Now, look. They're playing at the Country Club of Mobile. It's the FCA. It's a great cause. They're filling up. There's only a few slots left. You need to listen to the next segment. He's going to tell you how you can be a part of it. And if it does fill up, how you can still donate and be a part of the FCA. Of course, we'll finish up the show talking a little basketball. We'll do that with Doug Holton coming up here in just a little bit. And man, everybody's hitting the portal. What, I mean, Duke, you did well in the March Madness, and you got 5 people in the portal. Alabama, you did great in March Madness. Oh, that's right. You were in the, what is it, the Final Four? And you got guys in the portal. Auburn, looks like you got some guys going in the portal and making some moves. So we'll talk with Doug about that coming up in just a little bit. But, man, we have got to thank some of our wonderful, wonderful sponsors of the show. Of course, got to thank our buddy Mitch McConnell with McConnell Automotive, the number one GMC dealer in the state of Alabama. Be sure and check them out. You can go check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Also, we got to thank our good friend, The Voice, Matt Brand at Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. Boy, I'll tell you, they got the best Cajun food along the Gulf Coast, right there on the Mobile Delta. Be sure and check them out. Our good friend David Musial at Glen Lakes Golf Club in Foley, Alabama. Saw him the other day, had the opportunity to play out there, and he does a great job. How about Ben Murphy Roofing? If you remember, Ben spent the week last week in Augusta at Augusta National for the Masters. Good to have him on for that live report. But be sure and check out Ben Murphy Roofing. Also, thanks to Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai, Kraft Farms, golf courses in Gulf Shores, the only Arnold Palmer signature design course in Alabama. And don't forget about Peninsula Golf Course. All of those are fantastic places to play. Certainly want to thank Lisa Johnson Realtor, Fairhope Golf Works, Boom's Thai Kitchen. You got to check her out. What are you doing today? Are you hungry? Go up to the fort. Check Boom's Thai Kitchen out. She will take care of you for sure. And also thanks to PSR Radio Network. So, Bobby, there you go. We are set. We're ready to rock and roll. When we come back, we're going to visit with Dennis Hayford, the multi-area director for the FCA, the South Alabama FCA. Great tournament coming up. Don't touch that dial. This is Southern Fairway Sports Radio. Welcome back to Southern Fairway Sports Radio. Randy Bergen along with Doug Holt, Bobby Hall. And guys, we're happy to go to our Shrixon guest line and welcome in a very dear friend of ours. He is the multi-area director for Southern Alabama FCA, the one, the only, the best motivator in the world, my buddy Dennis Hayford. Dennis, how you doing, my man?
Hey, Randy, I'm doing fine, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, we always enjoy this time of the year because we get to spend a lot of time together this time of the year, yeah, more than we do any other time. But it's you have a wonderful, wonderful golf tournament coming up. And I want you to tell us about it because, quite frankly, it is filling up quick. So folks that want to be a part of the FCA 2024 golf tournament, that will be held at the Country Club of Mobile on Thursday, May the 23rd. You got to get in there, and you got to get in there quick. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Scott Smith is the pro out at Mobile Country Club, and he's just welcomed us with open arms. Our tournament director, David Langham, has done a great job and has put together a super tournament. It's filling up fast. It's a fundraiser for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and so it's going to be a beautiful day of golf competition, good food, and supporting a good cause.
Well, and you do, I mean, it's been going on now. You've been doing this for a number of years, and it has just gotten bigger and better each and every year. And certainly being out at the Country Club of Mobile is going to be fantastic. Again, this happens on May the 23rd, and we're going to tell you how you can register here in just a few moments. But before we do, this is something that you're doing a little different. You're going to have a shamble format, gross and net winners. Tell us a little bit about the shamble format and what made you kind of go in that direction.
Yeah, that's kind of the brainchild of our tournament director, David Langham. Guys get to play in scrambles a lot, and sometimes when you play in a scramble, you kind of lose sight of your own individual play. And the shamble format really kind of keeps guys locked in in the hole from tee box to you know, cup. And so we're going to try it out. We've not done it before, but we think it's going to be a lot of fun. And we've got a lot of returning teams. Randy, you know, you remember when we first started, we'd have 12 or 14 teams, and now we've just kind of developed a following, and they're good men and women who love to compete, support our cause. So it's going to be fun.
Well, there's no question about it. If you're just tuning in, we're visiting with Southern Alabama FCA multi-area director Dennis Hayford. We're talking about the tournament that's going to be coming up on May the 23rd, and I do like that shamble format because one of the things, as you mentioned, when you get into a scramble, it's gotten to a point where it's who can use the eraser the most. And in this format, I think that you have to, you keep everybody in play and I do like that. And I think it sets up for a question here about sandbaggers, because a lot of folks, look, we're doing this for fun. We're doing it to raise money. And, yeah, there might be some people out there that might use that eraser one time too many, but you've got a way that you really can't, let me use the word, you can't cheat here.
Well, we do make you testify before the Lord. He is watching. But all that aside, man, it's going to be fun. There's going to be great prizes. When you just show up, you get a gift in the Country Club of Mobile Pro Shop, and you go and you get to pick out a shirt or a hat or some shoes or whatever. So we've got prize sponsors. Joe Bullard is our prize sponsor. Tal Vickers, our good friend at Spring Hill Toyota, is our title sponsor. John Thompson, Thompson Wealth Management, is our lunch sponsor. So we've had some guys step in and make some generous donations that are just going to allow this to be, not only the Country Club of Mobile speaks for itself as a beautiful golf course, but you're going to be treated to good prizes, great food. And so, and then we've also got, Chavis Furniture has come on board, as well as Trinova. And we're expecting a couple of more sponsors. So we pour all that money into the tournament to make sure that if you choose us, and we hope your listeners will soon, because it's filling up. If you choose us and you come and play, we're going to limit the teams so it's not a slow 6-hour round.
Right.
Our goal is 4 hours, maybe 4.5. And but you're going to walk away with great prizes, and you get to compete. You got to bring your A game.
It's always fun. There is absolutely no question about it. And look, folks, we know that you get invited or you get pulled in directions all the time this time of the year to play in a tournament. And if there's one that you're working on a budget, this is the one you got to play in. But you got to do it quick because it is filling up. And one of the things, as we visit with Dennis Hayford with the Southern Alabama FCA, Dennis, you couldn't do this really without some great sponsors. You named a couple a few moments ago, but there's really some neat sponsors you have here.
Yeah. Tal Vickers, Spring Hill Toyota, and Joe Bullard Automotive, Thompson Wealth Management, Chavis Furniture, Trinova. Those guys are just super to us. So you're going to come and you're going to have a great prize and you're going to compete, and it's going to support a great cause. That's really a huge deal for us. This is, and I know everybody has to choose because there's some great causes out there, but when you come and sign up for our tournament, you're supporting FCA, you're supporting keeping the Bible in our public schools, keeping Jesus and his message in front of thousands of athletes and coaches. I was up in Monroeville. We had FCA at Monroe Academy. We recently started a first time ever FCA at Conecuh County Junior wow. High School, which is in Castleberry, sure. Alabama. You ever been to Castleberry?
I have been.
Yeah. So that's in addition, our Mobile County and our Baldwin County schools, we're nearly at 100% participation here in the two big counties. But we also do work in Escambia and Conecuh and Washington and Clark and Choctaw. So great cause.
Well, Dennis, I'll tell you, as we look around the world right now, and like I always talk with my son, and I'm like, son, let's get our lives right. Okay, let's get our lives right, mm-hmm. because I'm telling you, it is a changing world and a crazy, crazy world in which we live. And this goes for a great cause. And keeping the Bible and God in front of people and in schools, we know what happens when you take him out. And we got to get him back in, and in a big way. And you're doing a great job. You and your team do an absolutely wonderful job with the FCA. All right, so somebody wants to sign up. How do they do that?
Yeah, SouthAlabamaFCA.org. That's our website. You can go there and sign up. If you're not able to play, we'd love to have you as a whole sponsor. There are other sponsorships available there. SouthAlabamaFCA.org. Or if you've got questions, you can call me at 251-510-7024. And I will personally return your phone call.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
That guy can't have all the fun. That's a great line, you know. And if you're in a car wreck, okay, but you're not going to be in a car wreck. You want information on a golf tournament.
That's exactly
and
right.
I'll return your call.
Dennis, I got to tell you, you're the best, man. Congratulations. Good luck on this tournament. And of course, we look forward to having you back on. And we're going to be anxious to see what the results are after May the 23rd. So thank you for taking time to be with us. And we'll be talking with you real soon, okay?
My pleasure, Randy. Thank you so much. Couldn't do it without good friends like Randy Bergen. So thank you, buddy.
You're a good guy. You're a good guy. That's Dennis Hayford right there, the multi-area director for Southern Alabama FCA. Be sure and check it out. Go online right now, SouthAlabamaFCA.org. Okay, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we've got more Southern Fairway Sports Radio right here on the SFS Radio Network. And welcome back to Southern Fairway Sports Radio. Randy Bergen along with Doug Holton. That is War Eagle TV's Doug Holton, along with PGA teaching professional and director of golf at Quail Creek Golf Club in Fairhope, Alabama, Sweet Swinging Bobby Hall. All right, guys, look, we've been talking a lot of golf. Obviously, we did a little post-Masters in our first segment. Dennis Hayford, love that guy with the FCA. That is a tournament you want to be a part of. It happens on May the 23rd. Go to SouthAlabamaFCA.org for more information there. But how about a guy that I've been pulling for? If you watch Full Swing, especially in the second season, I think he's gained more fans as Ricky Fowler. Would you agree with that, Doug?
I don't see how he can get many more fans. He's very, very popular on the PGA Tour. Had a good par three tournament at the Masters. Not quite. I know you guys have been talking a little bit of golf, but you know, a good par three. The regular tournament didn't turn out quite like he wanted, but he was able to make the cut there, and on to Hilton Head this week, I guess.
Well, there's no doubt, and that was one of the things that we talked about, Bobby, last week, is the fact that here's a guy that did win the par three, and we were hoping that he would break that curse and go on and win the tournament. It didn't work out that well for him, but I'll tell you what is going to work out for him is it has just been announced that he and his wife, Allison, have announced baby number two that should be arriving somewhere during the summer.
Well, congratulations to Ricky. Yeah, his resurgence in his swing, compliments of Butch Harmon, the great teacher. He kind of refocused himself on what he needed to do. I'm sure the first child had a lot to do with that, where he kind of somewhat fell off the map for a little while, but he's refocused, regenerated. He has a lovely wife, lovely family, and I think he's got his – they all have their priorities in the right place, but I think it certainly helped him mature, and he realizes he's having more fun playing golf. And I think with Butch's help, he's back in the limelight, and that's great to see.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that has been said about Butch Harmon is – and I think Rory McIlroy may have been the one that said this. The one thing about Butch Harmon, when you go get a lesson from Butch, is you might get two swing tips, but you're going to get 30 stories out of your trip there with him.
Well, I'm sure he has a lot. Being from the Harmon family, he's so involved in golf over the years. He's a great mentor for all of teachers and players on the tour. But you're certainly right, Randy. Ricky has re-evolved and keeps his orange colors on there like Doug Holton has on his new wedges.
Oh, my goodness.
Orange in there and in the limelight with Puma and Cobra Golf. So, but hats off to Ricky and his family, and look forward to seeing him contend. Maybe he'll win another Players Championship like he did a few years ago.
Well, I certainly hope so. All right, Bobby, before we get into a little basketball, let me ask you, do you have the Shrix on Cleveland tip of the week?
Well, Doug just got some new wedges, and I know he's anxious to get out there and help him. But one thing I always strongly recommend when you're in your wedge game and in your short iron play is stay focused with your weight on your left side. Stay, if you're right-handed, of course, keep your weight on your left foot. You'll be a better ball striker. You'll hit it more solid. You don't want your head shifting or your weight shifting or a big slide in your swing. So keep a good position over your left ankle and your left foot. Keep pressure on your left foot, and you'll hit your wedges much more crisper. I also like to have the hands kind of hinge a little bit higher. A short backswing in short game gets you a short shot that you'll flub and not hit very – you will not have good contact. Let your hand set the club a little bit in the air. That gives you the leverage you need to hit a good crisp wedge shot. So keep your weight on your left side, and you'll have more fun with your wedge game.
There you go. That is our Shrix on Cleveland tip of the week. All right, Doug, let's talk a little basketball real quick. As we know, this week has seen a lot of folks go in the portal. You look at Duke. They put five folks in the portal. Alabama's got five in there. Of course, Sears is looking to go to the NBA draft. Auburn's got some changes going on. Man, decipher all this for us.
Yeah, it is. I'm not sure anybody can decipher this, Randy, but we'll give it a shot. I'll start with Auburn. They've got a few players here. Jalen Pegues out of Furman, the point guard, is coming in. Of course, Auburn loses a couple of point guards, including Aiden Holloway, who was a five-star guy coming in as a true freshman. And now he, this week, is visiting Alabama. So that could be an interesting mix for next year for the Iron Bowl of college basketball. Janai Broome this week announces that he is coming back to Auburn.
That's big for y'all.
It's puzzling to me, though. Why would Janai Broome come back to Auburn? What does he have to gain by coming back? I'm not sure
But that's big about for, that's that big for you, though. That's big for Auburn.
It is big. He's a great player, and people are talking about him being maybe the greatest player in Auburn basketball history now coming back. I don't know if he can get there or not, but anyway, Broome is coming back. Dylan Cardwell is coming back, and Tahad Pettiford is the big five-star now that is coming in next season to play the two spot, probably for Bruce Pearl. So we'll see what happens for the Tigers there. As you mentioned, Alabama has a lot of stories as well. Sam Walters has hit the transfer portal. Rylan Griffin is in the portal. Still waiting to hear on Grant Nelson, who had a tremendous postseason for the Crimson Tide this year. Mark Sears this week announced that he is going to test the waters for the NBA, as you mentioned, Randy, but he leaves the door open to come back if things don't work out in the draft for him.
Explain that, because a lot of times whenever you hear someone's going to leave for the draft, that means, hey, good luck. If it doesn't work out, you can't come back. But in this situation, a little different.
Well, they have NBA people, I'm sure, that the coaches at Alabama know, and whoever they use, that will give him some guidance, give Mark Sears some guidance on his projection in the NBA draft. If it looks like he'll be a first rounder, no doubt he'll probably go. If it looks like he'll be a third or fourth rounder, he may come back to Alabama for another year. Of course, the upside with Sears, a great driver of the basketball, gets to the bucket well, shoots the three-pointer well. The question mark with him probably is his size in the NBA. Is he big enough to do that at the next level? And then Nick Pringle also announcing that he is in the transfer portal. And you mentioned Alabama, Randy, and Duke with five players right in the transfer portal. I'm just, it's puzzling to figure all this out. But if you're a basketball player at Duke or even Alabama, you're coming from a Final Four season Duke didn't get there this year, but a perennial powerhouse. And Auburn wins the SEC championship. What prompts all these guys to go in the transfer portal? What are they looking for?
I mean, where are you going to go that's better than where you're leaving? I mean, is it NIL money?
I guess that's the answer. That's the only thing I can think of because, I mean, how do you set yourself up for NIL and the NBA better than being at a Duke in the ACC? What's better than that?
Doug, I cannot answer that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's puzzling to me. And you and I've talked about this, and Bobby, we've talked about this. This NIL has absolutely, we never get political on this show, but it's pretty much a mirror of what's happening in this country because it's all chaos right now. I mean, it's chaos in college sports. Okay. You've got transfer portals and guys are in the Final Four. Now they're getting in transfer portals. Go where? Where are you going? Is it the money side of it? I mean, what's happening here, man? Help me out.
I don't either. You know, a lot of our college football players went to be under Saban because they knew they had a better chance of playing in the NFL. And some of the major schools, Ohio State, the USC's, all around the country, the Georgias, and leaving out many others, but they went there to get the coaching to get in the NFL so they could make that money. And so we kind of understand that. Now you just kind of throw that out the window. If a coach offers a scholarship to a kid, hey, you're going to come play. You're not going to sit on the bench and you're not going to be the second string alternate. You're going to come here and play. That's the only thing I can think of. They want to play so they get in the NFL. The NIL money, you know, I don't understand it either. And I'm just reading this article about Division I Council approves changes to the transfer portal. You know what the changes are? They just make it so if you're academically eligible, you're a graduate student and you're in the good graces of the school you're at and you transfer and they accept your credits as you go, you can go wherever you want to as long as you're keeping your grades up. So I guess it's either the coaching, NIL money, or the opportunity maybe to get in the NBA or get in the NFL or, you know, what's going to happen. I don't know. It's what I like about golf. You got to make the cut.
And you're right. I mean, you have to earn your own money, and that's the thing, unless you head toward live. But it is quite interesting to me that the sense of loyalty, the sense of team no longer exists. It's correct. All about me. And what is happening in this world again? I don't want to reflect back on it, but it's all individuals, all about me. Don't care about you, just care about me. That is where we're headed in this country right now.
Yeah. And that's the thing about it, Randy, that I see and I hear from so many people is the difference in the NBA and college basketball used to be that in college you had a university like Alabama, Auburn, Duke, North Carolina, wherever it is that the players cared about. And, you know, that was the difference in the ball game. Now it seems like you don't have that. You have kids going every which way after every season. And I'm not sure where we go from here, but it's very hard from a fan's perspective to keep up with who's on your team from year to year.
Well, no doubt. And we're almost out of time of this segment. I want to carry this over to the next segment for sure. But I mean, look at Caitlin Clark. Okay. The first pick in what the WNBA.
Yeah.
Guess what her salary is? She got a 4-year deal.
Like 70 grand?
$78,000. Now, in the NBA, that same first draft pick in the NBA gets like $50 million. Thought we all try to be equal here.
That's based on television ratings, I'm sure, and how many eyes are watching the game. So it's kind of hard to compare, but Caitlin Clark has certainly made a difference in the women's game. We'll say that.
There's no doubt. Let's carry this over to the next segment. Don't go anywhere. More Southern Fairway Sports Radio right after this. Fantasy, midnight and you and me.
Hey, guys, we'll get back to the show in a second, but I got a secret. Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. Daphne. Yeah, baby. Back to the show.
All right, we told you we're going to be rolling through this hour, and that is exactly what we're doing, and we're glad that you're here with us on Southern Fairway Sports Radio. Randy Bergen, along with War Eagle TV's Doug Holton, Quail Creek Golf Club's PGA teaching professional and director of golf in Fairhope, Alabama, Sweet Swinging Bobby Hall. Of course, we've talked a lot of golf today. We're talking some basketball, talking about that portal. And I think we ended just a few moments ago, and Doug, get your thoughts as you carry these over. On Caitlin Clark, she gets first round pick on the WNBA, and her salary is $76,535. Now, that same top NBA draft will earn a little over $10.5 million. Granted, it is TV. I get it. How many times have you watched the NBA on TV? Me? None.
I've watched it a lot, but not lately a whole lot.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of roads we can go down right now because – we've got in college, especially, we've got guys that are saying that they're female and they're swimming and they're breaking all these records and running track and all this. I am confused on where we are in the world of sports right now, and I need somebody to help me out.
Well, we have winners and losers, Randy. And no, it's unbelievable what Caitlin Clark has done for not only the women's game, but basketball in general. The championship game, as we all know from the TV ratings, had a lot of eyes on it. So she is certainly changed the women's game from that perspective. And I think she's going to do the same for the WNBA. She's going to help that situation as well. It'll be interesting to watch and see how that plays out. And you mentioned the money as far as Caitlin Clark and the WNBA. Well, a player like Caitlin obviously is making a base salary of $78,000, I think you said, Randy. But imagine the money that Caitlin Clark is going to make from endorsements outside of her salary. That's where she's going to make a lot of money, I think, and probably surpass a lot of veteran players that are already playing in the WNBA. And she may rival some of the guys as far as those figures and endorsement contracts.
Well, and I agree with you completely. It will be interesting to see what she accomplishes there. I mean, there were more eyeballs, and you helped me out on this, watching that final game than there's ever been watching a female basketball game. Am I wrong in that?
I think that's right. I think, as I remember, I'm trying to remember the exact numbers, but 19 million, was that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Something like that. So I think I'm right on that. But anyway, a lot more people watching college basketball, a lot more interest, a lot of young kids watching Caitlin Clark. And that's where she's really great, I think. And you see a lot of the guys doing it too. But after the game, even before the game, she's out there signing autographs, spending time with the kids. And I think that's really where she makes her mark. Of course, she can shoot the three-pointer pretty well too.
I also like to interject, you know, women's sports overall has made a big rise. You look at the LPGA Tour, they're playing for more money. Ladies tennis has grown, and there's more women in the sports. The PGA of America has focused a lot on the corporate side of women that are in corporate America now are out for golf. So we can't turn an eye to that. We have to focus in. So our ladies professional sports, lady amateur sports, look at what the Masters did with the NCAA, or not the NCAA, but bringing the ladies championship there to Augusta National. I think it's fantastic. So rise in women's sports and for young ladies, I think it's great. So she did a lot. Caitlin Clark did a lot for women's sports, and it's just going to grow. We like, Randy, we've always said we like to watch the ladies on the LPGA Tour. They swing with great balance, great poise. I like watching women's tennis. You know, there's more volleys in women's tennis than there are in men. Men are such a smash factor going on. So lady sports is on the rise, and good for them. Good for lady sports.
You know, and carry that over just a little bit, Bobby, and you can elaborate a little bit more on it. From a golfing standpoint, for juniors that are thinking about maybe parents getting their junior female into golf, there's a lot of opportunities for scholarships.
There are, and Title IX brought that about several years ago. I remember my daughter, Elena, when she was playing high school at Faith Academy, she got calls from places I'd never heard of over in Georgia and Tennessee, just because she had turned in some scores on the AJGA events and some of the Southeastern Junior Tour events. They were calling. They didn't even know who she was. They knew she had a good academic program. They checked into that first. But there are a lot of opportunities, just not in golf, but other things for ladies to play in. So encourage all you young ladies out there, you know, work on your hand-eye coordination, balance, play basketball, play all the sports. But it certainly is a rise, Randy. You're exactly right. There's more opportunity now.
Well, no doubt about it. You know, kind of kick back and talk a little more golf. I got to go back to this. Ludvig Åberg or Åberg, you pronounce it the way you wish. It's an A with a little O over the top of the A. So,
well, we live in the South, Randy. We can say what we want to.
Yes, we can, Bobby. Yes, we can. There's the beauty there. You know,
we just call him Ludzie.
Ludzie. There you go. You know, he's got one win on the PGA Tour. That was back just last year, I think, in November over at the RSM Classic. This is a kid you better keep your eye open for, because you're going to hear his name quite a bit. He came out and played the debut of majors for him, and he comes in second at the Masters. That's pretty doggone impressive.
Was very impressive, because you have to know where to hit it at Augusta. Now, Tiger didn't have a great round, but we've learned through history from Jackie Burke and Byron Nelson and Ben Hogan where you have to hit it at Augusta. Even in the old days, you know, they always played, Hogan always said, hit it short right of 11 to get it up and down. And him not playing in his first event, hitting it where he did, and he made mistakes, and he, you know, rebounded from some of his mistakes. And very impressive. Can't wait to see him play more. He's in the field this week.
That's right.
RBC, so we'll see how he does. I think it's going to be great. Scheffler's in the mix at the Heritage coming up, and another exciting week on the tour.
And let me ask you, Doug, let me throw you in on this one. As we watched the first 2 days of the Masters last week and you saw the weather that they had, you know, typically when you watch a PGA event, the weather's really not that bad. They're playing on the nicest courses. The greens are absolutely spectacular. Everything is perfect. But you throw a little wind and a little rain in there, funny, the names would drop. Okay, that didn't make the cut. I mean, I was surprised that Victor Hovland, Justin Thomas, those guys didn't make it. I mean, there were some names that did not make that cut last week. That'll be interesting to see. They're playing in this field at the RBC. See how they do this. Jordan Spieth being one of them. How do they do this weekend?
Yeah, and that's a great question from last week that I thought about a lot. You had the windy conditions Thursday and Friday. The greens got a little bit crusty. Not as many birdies made. It didn't seem like quite as exciting a Masters, because those putts from 10 or 15 or 20 feet just weren't falling. They weren't going in. There weren't a lot of birdies out there. So I don't know. I kind of felt like they could have put a little more water on the greens for the final two rounds. But interesting to know what you guys thought about that. I thought they kind of let the course get a little bit away from them on Friday afternoon.
Well, remember in our interview with Ron Hickman prior to the Masters, Ron said they can do what they want to with those greens, and they can with that sub-air system that runs under the greens. They can dry it out, they can quicken them up, and they can let them stay wet and soft and moist if they want to. And he said, you know, it's going to be tougher. The pin placements were tougher. The wind stayed up. They dried out. And that's what Augusta can do. And, you know, there was no getting around it. The putting, yeah, I kind of agree with you, Doug. We were hoping for Homa to make a move. He hit so many good putts on Saturday. They just didn't go in. You were just thinking, well, you know, he's going to make some on Sunday. And they just did not happen for any of them. I guess Morikawa, Fleetwood managed it very well. Of course, Scheffler did, but you're exactly right. It was different.
It was interesting to watch 15 to me, Bobby, with the wind blowing and those guys hitting wedges into 15. They were laying up. They couldn't go for it in two. They're laying up with a wedge on a downhill slope. and usually they'll knock it in there, you know, 10 or 15 feet. They could hardly hit the green on Friday and Saturday.
I think that, and you bring up a great point on the par fives. That's what Scheffler played, what, 8 under for the week? He played the par fives, 8 under. It was so impressive to watch him hit at 13. He hit the 5 iron in there to the left side of the green. He had plenty of room, didn't miss it, knocked it on the green, 2 putts, gets his birdie. And then he gets the 15. He's hitting an iron again into the green, and he holds the green. So length is a determining factor. I don't care what you say, but if you got the length, then you've got control of your golf swing. Homa had to lay up. Let's think back way in the history. Chip Beck was sitting out in the fairway. He was tied for the lead, and he needed to go to 15 and 2, and he didn't. He laid up because he just didn't feel comfortable hitting it over and 2, and it may have cost him the tournament. I remember just yelling at the TV, go for it, go for it. You got to go for the win, and he laid up. And it just didn't work for him. So length is definitely a factor.
There is no doubt about that, Bobby. Hey, look, guys, wrapping this up real quick. Real quick, want to remind you, hey, we're going to be out at Windance tomorrow for the Southern Fairways Golf Tour event. We can't wait. We're excited to be over there. Rory, all those guys will take very good care of us. Bobby, tomorrow you've got a big event. We only got about 15 seconds left here. You got a big event tomorrow.
The Jill Hall Memorial Tournament will be at Quail Creek. Looking forward to it. That's history in the making when you have the Hall family out there to have the golf tournament.
No doubt. Hey, Doug, thanks for hanging out with us. Always good to have you. Bobby, always. Good luck tomorrow on your tournament. We're certainly looking for a great turnout as well. Hopefully the weather will hold out for us. Thank you for tuning in to Southern Fairways Sports Radio. I am Randy Bergen. For Doug Holton, for Bobby Hall, for Steve Stanley, our producer, and all of our sponsors, thank you. We'll see you next week right here on Southern Fairways Sports Radio. Bye-bye, everybody.